Hello and welcome to today's Gospel Reflection. Please join me in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, thy well-beloved spouse. Amen. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people. He inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. In today's gospel, we hear about the Magi arriving in Jerusalem and seeking the infant king. All throughout the world today, there's great devotion to the child Jesus, the infant king. For example, we've all heard of the Infant of Prague. We have heard of Santo Niño de Atocha. We've heard of Santo Niño de Cebu. We've heard of the Divino Niño of Bogotá. And there are divine child devotions all over the world. And to be honest with you, of all the devotions to Jesus that I'm aware of, where there are apparitions involved, where there are great miracles, generous miracles, most of those have to do with the divine child. Now you might be thinking, "Gabriel, come on, you want me to do one more devotion?" Now, devotion to the divine child isn't necessarily like a different devotion, like you'd have a devotion to St. Jude or to St. Anthony. So when I say have a devotion to the Divino Niño, what I'm talking about is having a devotion, having a strong meditation to one aspect of the life of Christ, and in this case, his infancy. And how important his devotion is, you can see by how great Satan attacks it. What do I mean? Well, the world tells us that Christmas ends on December 25th, that there's only one day, but the church teaches us that there is an entire season, the season of Christmas. And during that season, we should have a meditation on the life, the infancy, the little childhood of our infant king. After all, sacred scripture teaches us that a child shall lead them. If you think about all the images of the Virgin Mary where she's carrying the child Jesus, she herself has the greatest of all devotions to the child Jesus. Every time you see a statue of St. Joseph, who is he carrying? He's carrying the child Jesus. If our art could speak to us, St. Joseph would say, "Here, you need to have a devotion to the child Jesus." If our art could speak to us, the Blessed Mother would be saying, "Here, you need to have a devotion to the infant Jesus, to the child Jesus." And think about this, at Christmas time, our dear brothers and sisters, the Protestants, they are very against religious statues, anti-religious art, but even the Protestants, they're open to having nativity scenes. Why? Because the devotion to the infant Jesus, think about this. Children, if we think about them, when they're at their best, they're very generous, they're very loving. Anybody can approach a child. You ask a child for something, they have no concept of money, they have no concept of cost. They're so generous, they're so good. They're so innocent. Now imagine Jesus as a child. Imagine how innocent he was. You ask him for something. Could you imagine asking the child Jesus, "Jesus, I need something, please." Oh, the child Jesus would be so generous. Imagine asking the child Jesus, "Jesus, I'm sick, please." Oh, the child Jesus would be so quick to help you. You know, little children, when they see somebody suffering, they have such compassion. They have such love. Now, many saints, many saints were devoted to Jesus as a child. Let me give you some examples of famous saints who had a devotion to the child Jesus. Saint Bonaventure had a great devotion to the child Jesus. Saint Francis of Assisi had a great devotion to the child Jesus. In fact, that's where we get the first nativity scene, is in the life of Saint Francis. Saint Anthony of Padua, doctor of the church, great devotion to the child Jesus. That's why we always see him in images depicted as holding the child Jesus. One night he was in deep prayer and the child Jesus appeared to him. Remember I said that out of all the apparitions of Jesus, it's the child Jesus that I hear of the most. The child Jesus appeared to him. A count was walking by, couldn't believe what they saw. They saw Saint Anthony holding the child Jesus. Saint Teresa of Avila would take a statue of the child Jesus with her wherever she went. In fact, the infant Jesus of Prague is said to have been in the possession of St. Teresa of Avila before she gave it away as a gift, and then eventually it ended up in Prague. On one occasion, St. Teresa of Avila had a vision of the child Jesus. He was there in the hallway, and the child Jesus said, "Who are you? What is your name?" And Teresa of Avila said, "I am Teresa of Jesus." And because she had such a great devotion to the child Jesus, do you know what he responded? He said, "You are Teresa of Jesus. I am Jesus of Teresa," because she had such a great devotion. Also, St. Rose of Lima had a great devotion to the child Jesus. She couldn't read or write as a child. Nobody took the time to teach Rose of Lima how to read or write. She prayed to the child Jesus, "Please, I want to learn to read or write." She persevered in prayer. The key, one of the keys in devotion to the child Jesus, persevere in your prayer. Well, what happened? Eventually, the child Jesus appeared to her and taught her how to read and write. When her mother asked her, "Where did you learn to read and write?" and St. Rose of Lima says, "The child Jesus appeared and taught me," I bet you could imagine the shock if one of your children told you that the child Jesus appeared to them and taught them how to read and write. Who else had a great devotion to the child Jesus? Well, St. Therese of the child Jesus. We don't think about this. It's not just in her title. She had such a great devotion to the child Jesus that even in the novitiate, she had heard of all the great wonders that Jesus was working in the other Carmelite monasteries. She put an image of the statue of the child Jesus in her novitiate, and all of the sisters were getting so many graces. And where do you think that she got this idea of spiritual childhood? It's what made her a doctor of the church. It's what elevated her to great heights of spirituality, is her devotion to the child Jesus was the foundation for her spiritual life. Who else had a devotion to the child Jesus? Mother Angelica had a devotion to the child Jesus. But before her, because her name was Rita Rizzo, there was a man who was in Bogota, Colombia. His name was John Rizzo. He was a Salesian priest. And he had already had a devotion to the child Jesus. This is in the early 1900s. And his superior said, "We need to build a church, and you need to get the money." Father Rizzo said, "There's no way I can get money from these poor people. Here in Colombia, they're very poor. In Bogota, they're very poor." He asked everybody for money. Nobody gave him money. He went to Our Lady, Help of Christians. You'll also notice that the child Jesus is very generous of money. Children don't have a real good concept of money. So if you need money, go to the child Jesus. So John Rizzo went to Our Lady, Help of Christians first. "Blessed Mother, please, please, I need help getting money for my community to build a church." And he felt like he was getting nowhere with the Blessed Mother, but he had an interior inspiration. He saw Our Lady's always carrying the child Jesus, and she thought, maybe this is the answer. Maybe I need to go to the child Jesus. And he said, "Please, child Jesus, help me." And all of a sudden, the image of the child Jesus came to life. And he was so joyous, and he lifted up his arms, and he had a locution. That's an interior message saying, "I want to go with you everywhere you go." And so after that, Father Rizzo had even a greater devotion to the infant Jesus. He went to a religious shop. He saw there a statue of the child Jesus that matched almost exactly the one from his vision, except this one had a cross behind it. And he said, "Hey, why are you crucifying a baby? Get rid of that cross. I'll buy the statue." And on the bottom you write, "Yo reinera, reo reinera," whatever. I don't know Spanish that well, but it means, "I will reign." "Yo reinera." So why? Because an infant child, Jesus is the infant king of the Jews. And so John Rizzo had a great devotion. He brought this child with him everywhere. And now this child has been working many miracles. I've heard of many miracles that the child Jesus, the Divino Niño de Bogotá, has done in Colombia. There's been times where people are starving and all of a sudden they're praying to the child Jesus. And then the next day there's food there, providing for all the children. I've heard of so many miracles. of the Divino Niño of Bogotá. One of them, I mentioned Mother Angelica earlier, Mother Angelica was in Bogotá, Colombia, trying to spread EWTN to the Spanish market. And a priest there took her to the shrine of the Divino Niño, and there she was in prayer. And all of a sudden, the child Jesus came alive. Again, remember what I said. The Divino Niño likes to play. The Divino Niño likes to show himself. He's so joyous. He's so humble. He's so generous. He's so pure of heart. So, of course, the child came alive to Mother Angelica, and you know what he told her? Build me a temple, and I will help those who help you. Sure enough, Mother Angelica took this mission to heart. She did not involve EWTN in this mission. This was purely an apostolate of Our Lady of the Angels Monastery. And sure enough, within a very short time, there were already five families ready to donate for this big, magnificent, beautiful structure in honor of the Divino Niño. Mother Angelica would even say, "Man, that Divino Niño works really quickly." I also have a friend. He's Colombian. He's a very dear friend of mine. He was one of the groomsmen in my wedding. And he just told me of the story yesterday, even though I'd heard it before. He was reminding me of the story. He said, my mother, his mother's a Colombian woman who came here to this country. She really wanted to teach. She had a great zeal, a great charism for teaching, but English was very difficult for her. So she said, "Oh, I failed this exam, the teaching exam, twice because my English is so poor. God, I just want to use my gift for teaching to help the youth." So she said, Ivan was her son's name, "Pray with me. Pray with me this novena to the Divino Niño of Colombia, please. Maybe if together we pray to him, he will be so generous so that I can pass my teacher's exam." Now, this devotion that they did was not a novena of 9 days, but 9 Sundays consecutively. So this lasted more than 1 month, 2 months. And they would pray it every Sunday together. But my friend had to go to study abroad, and he didn't have the papers. And this is on an old devotional. So the mother said, "Hey, don't worry. This is the 9th Sunday. I will call you. I will pray the prayers over the phone and you can repeat them in Spanish. And then after that, our devotion will be done. And although we cannot be united by place, we'll be united in heart." So there they were. They were praying the prayers to the Divino Niño. All of a sudden, Ivan's mom stops speaking. And he hears her gasping. And then he hears her weeping. Tears. He could hear the tears. And he says, "Mom, is everything okay?" And she's just crying really hard. "Mom, is everything okay?" He's starting to freak out. He's starting to think that something happened to my poor mother because he can hear her weeping. And then after a couple seconds, she says, "Ivan, you will not believe what I've just heard. I've heard the most beautiful laughter. I've heard the most beautiful laughter of the most innocent child ever." And instantaneously, my friend said, "Ah, this is the Divino Niño." And his mother wept even harder. And she said the whole house was filled with peace. The whole house just had a thick sense of the presence of God. And sure enough, within a couple days, she got the mail, she opened the envelope, and she had passed her exam. I know many stories like this. In the life of Mother Angelica, many times the Divine Child appeared to her. There's no other manifestation that I'm aware of the child Jesus, where he's so public. There's stories of him running up and down the hills in the various apparitions. He's very public, he's very close. But why? Why in this infant form, why in this child, why in this toddler form does Jesus want to come to us? Think about this. If we love him and we can approach him so easily because he's pure, because he's generous, because he's just love itself and just so cute and so cuddly. When he gets older, does he lose any of his generosity? He's still truly God. Does he lose his generosity? No. Does he lose his purity? No. Does he lose his innocence? No. Perhaps if we have a devotion to the child Jesus, it'll help us to have a greater appreciation for how good, how innocent, how pure our Lord is. Sometimes we go to God with our intentions, and because of our lack of faith, we don't think that he's going to answer them. We think, God won't answer this for me. But what you have to remember, he has the innocence, the purity, the love, the devotion of a little child. He says that we want to enter the kingdom of God, we must be like little children. He is God himself. How childlike must he be? And we have to imitate that childlike innocence, that childlike trust in our Heavenly Mother, in our Father Saint Joseph, in God the Father. We must imitate Jesus in his little way, in his innocence, in his purity, in his great trust. If you have any stories of the Divino Niño, I would love to hear them in the comments section below. Also, in the description section of this video, I will include links to little articles and different devotionals and novenas that you can do to the Divine Child Jesus. God bless you, God love you, and we'll see you next week.